The Hannah Gray Mayor of Bromley podcast. Championing small businesses. Hannah Gray has been serving the community as a local government councillor for several years. She was nominated to be the 2020-2021 Mayor of the London Borough of Bromley at the height of the COVID pandemic in March 2020. Hannah has for many years been known as one of South London's most prolific small and medium enterprise networkers. Before becoming mayor, Hannah was Bromley's business champion, promoting and helping entrepreneurs achieve their business ambitions. She's now dedicated to helping promote SMEs, charities, and voluntary organizations to learn from their experiences for the benefit of all.
Well, I am really thrilled today to have Jenny Hallam joining me. Now, Jenny's a good friend of mine and is a personal and professional life coach, changing people's businesses or careers or if they've got a changing world going on around them. In fact, I've been to Jenny for some coaching myself, and it really was a fantastic way of me being able to clear my head. And we're going to talk about all the things Jenny Hallam. So, Jenny, welcome. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Hannah. I'm delighted to be here.
And I think today we will be talking about the Me Retreat that you're doing. Me Treat Retreat. Oh, gosh. I tell you, I should put my teeth back in. So the Me Treat, which I love because it's all about me. It's about a retreat about yourself, isn't it? And so we need to talk about that. You've got that for the 24th and 25th of April, I think, is your next one coming up.
That's right, yes.
And I think that's really important. The other things I want to cover today are your other coaching, because the Me Treat has many things in it, like facial massage and reflexology and meditation. So I'm sure you're going to tell us all about that. And you've written a journal to go along with it, which I am delighted to say you asked me to have a little proofread of. And that is a wonderful thing. So we'll talk about that too, because it's something that you can keep, isn't it? Something you can work on and keep.
Yes. I shall tell you all about that.
So where should we start? Maybe we should start with you are now a local girl because you live around the corner from me in Bromley. Being Bromley mayor, I'm very proud to have you living around the corner from me. I know, it's funny, isn't it? You knew me before I was mayor and you'll know me after I'm mayor.
Well, I sincerely hope I will, yes.
Of course. But yes, you live around the corner from me at the moment. But have you always been a Bromley girl, or where did you start? Where did your world start?
Well, it's an interesting one because I've done a sort of circle round the world and back to Bromley, you could say. I started off in West Wycombe. That's where I grew up. And then I crept into London. I lived in Greenwich, and then I moved to Bristol. And then I spent 7 years living in Greece, and I lived in Athens, which I loved. I love Greece. I'm a passionate Greekophile, and that all comes into to what I do now. But life interfered with me living in Greece, so I came back, ended up in Croydon. From Croydon, I moved back to Beckenham. So it's a sort of full circle, really.
That's fab. So we've got you back again. However, I think Greece does sound fascinating. I was fortunate enough to visit Athens the other year and I loved it. And I can see why you have a passion for it. But when you say that's why you do what you do, do you want to elaborate on that a little?
Okay. Well, I've always worked with people all my life. My background is education, and I was involved in education when I was in Greece. I was the head of art, actually, in a school. But while I was there, I also got very involved in personal development work. And I started to run weekend retreats. They were art-based. They were called Explore Yourself Through Art. But what they were was weekends for people to escape and have time for them. And in the lovely Greek sunshine, you know, we used to work outside on a big terrace, the place that we used, and draw huge pictures and, explore ourselves. So that sort of started me off. And then the other story behind me doing what I do is touches on, my whole passion for women and women putting themselves first, because I think so many of us don't do that. And that was what I was like. And so I went through a phase in my life after I came back from Greece where I was just not taking notice of the fact that I really needed to change. I needed, you know, I was very, very unhappy for all kinds of reasons. And I wasn't listening to myself. I wasn't listening to all the messages that kept telling me to stop. So I ended up getting very ill. I ended up with an infection in my spine and being in hospital for 3 months, which is a long story. It's a novel, so I can't tell you the novel here. But
maybe another one.
But while I was in hospital, and you know, I think you sometimes need a big crisis in your life to make you really realise how powerful you are.
Yeah.
And so that experience and you know, being really told that I might not be able to walk again, actually. And I then made up my mind, well, that wasn't going to happen. I was not only walking again, I was getting back in the gym, as those people who know me know that I'm a bit of a gym bunny.
You are, yes.
Yeah. So I decided I was getting better, and I was reading all kinds of self-help books to get me motivated for that. And I found a question, and this is nearly 20 years ago now. So in those days, the question was, what would you do if you had £1 million? When I ask the question of my clients now, I always say 5 million, because £1 million isn't enough anymore, is it? But the idea
I wouldn't give it back. If someone gave me £1 million, I wouldn't say, oh no, it's got to be 5 million or nothing.
Yeah. But the point is that, you know, 20 odd years ago, £1 million freed you to do whatever you wanted. And so my mind went back to those Greek retreat weekends, and I just thought, that's what I'd do. But it would be more than that. And I designed this whole thing where I would take groups of women away to a lovely Greek island and give them the space to really enjoy themselves and refresh and re-energize and refocus and put themselves first and think about what they wanted for the future. And that was what I decided I wanted to do. And that was what led me to train to be a coach. And here I am.
Here you are now. And I know you have a passion for it, because the very first time we met, you said to me, can we have a one-to-one cup of coffee and chat about life and, you know, who you are and where you're going? And I found all of that fascinating. And as I said, I have been to you for coaching. And one of the marvellous things, and there were many of them, but one of the marvellous things was it made me completely clear my head of clutter. Because I, like you, like helping people, and I can so often fill my life with helping people, which I love doing. But sometimes if you fill it too full, then you haven't got space to look after yourself. And if it's one of these things we were taught as mothers, that if you don't look after yourself, you're in no fit state to look after your child. And
absolutely.
It's one of those things that we forget, isn't it? And I think women do tend to forget it. I don't want to be sexist in any way, but I do think women do have a tendency in their nature to forget looking after themselves and putting themselves sort of higher up the tree, because they're busy looking after other people. So I think it's great that you want to do this retreat. However, I would love you to take this retreat from my front room, which I'm hoping I'll be on your retreat, from my wonderful front room, which is gorgeous, to do Eating for Joy. That sounds interesting. And my treasure box and Pilates stretches. I'm reading through the menu of things that you are going to explore on your retreat. But could we go back to Greece, please? I'd quite like to go there, if that's all right.
Don't worry. The long-term plan is that as soon as, you know, life goes back to something like more like normal, that I will be running live retreats, and you know, I hope on that Greek island where I always wanted them to be. But I think that's the point of doing this now, the online retreat, because although things are opening up, it is still the case that jumping on the aeroplane off to, you know, sunny climes to do a retreat probably isn't going to be happening for a bit. And I think with all the stress and pressure people have been under in the last year, probably most of us need a break, and we need some time for us. I originally wanted to do this earlier, in this year, but I decided to wait until kids were back at school and there was a bit more freedom for children to be looked after, because I'm very aware that parents might find it difficult to do this kind of stuff at home
and find the space.
So yeah, that was part of the thinking of making it April. But yes, it's surprising. I'm actually doing a little retreat thing myself at the moment with a friend of mine who lives in Bali, and we're doing a remote Saturday morning for 3 or 4 weeks where we do like a little mini retreat every Saturday morning. And I'm doing that here in my office, and it's amazing how much of a retreat atmosphere you can create anywhere. All you need is a little bit of a change in lighting, have your candle lit, and just get yourself into the mindset, and away you go.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. I think we could all do with a little bit of that. And so how is this going to work? Because shall we talk about the journal at this point? Because you did, as I said earlier, give me the honour of reading it, and you were asking my opinion and how I felt about it. And so I sat down very studiously and thought, right, now I'm going to give this good time. I've got my notebook out, and I thought, right, I'm going to read it, make notes, and I'm going to help here. And actually what I found myself doing was starting to follow the suggestions and advice in the journal, and my pen and paper disappeared. And I thought, no, I'm going to try and do this. I'm going to have a go. And I don't want to give away all of your secrets, but there was the rule of three came into it. And in fact, I have my rule of three stuck up right in front of me of the things that I am reminding myself every day that I would want to do. So would you like to give people a little example of how the journal works and how that's going to work alongside MeTreat?
Yeah, okay. So as with many things, you know, you start off with the germ of an idea and then it grows. My grandmother used to say it grows like Topsy, and I'm not sure where that came from, but anyway. So the journal grew like Topsy, and it has become really a resource book. And everything in it is there, is very practical. And it's accessible stuff that you can do for yourself without having to come for help from your coach, or you can share it with someone else, but you can do it all for yourself. So the whole thinking behind it is empowerment, really. It's an empowering book that allows you to engage and explore what's going on inside of you, and to use what you have naturally with the power of your mind to shift yourself up. There's an exercise at the beginning called the emotional ladder, which I will share at this point, because I think it's really appropriate at this time when we're all, we're in these sort of last weeks, we hope, of lockdown. But I think many of us are feeling depleted, and you can have very negative moments.
Yeah.
And it's about, how do you get yourself out of that? Nobody's pretending, and I'm not pretending, that you can wave a magic wand and get yourself from down there to up there in just like that. But if you think about your emotions as a ladder, and you think about, the low rungs of the ladder as feeling low, depressed, resentful, frustrated, angry, all of those things, you do have a choice about staying there. And there are lots of little things you can do that just will shift you up. Even if it shifts you up a rung or two, it's a bit better. And that's the kind of light at the end of the tunnel place. So the beginning bit of the journal is all about how you do that.
Yeah.
And then it builds on from there. Once you've shifted yourself into a more positive frame of mind, then you can start to do the next things and the next things and the next things. So you get really fired up and focused and actively creative about the future. I think that's the point.
Yeah, one thing at a time, isn't it? When you are feeling low, because I've had different people on my podcast talking about different aspects of this. And in fact, Alison Delaney, who was on last with her inspirational book and for children to follow their dreams. She was talking about her the ladder that she uses, where you can feel very much like the victim at the bottom, and then you can take a little bit more control of it, and you have a choice, and so the ladder, you work your way up the ladder. And yours is similar, but more on an emotional scale, where you take control of it. You realise where you are. And one of my other ladies, Zeenat, who is a mindset strategist as well, I say as well as other people that I've had on my podcast, because I know that your work is similar but different. She's saying it's okay not to be okay. There are days where you can say, I'm not okay. And you don't have to panic. It's just, I'm not feeling okay today. But you can get yourself feeling okay simply by admitting it. And then you can work on it. So this is your emotional ladder you're talking about. You can work on it from rock bottom. You can work on it. You can learn techniques that work for you. I remember you telling me about the colour blue is one of your things that you use as you go through. And it reminds you of Greece. And
that's right.
And your happy place. And so that's one of the things that you use. And you get yourself feeling a bit better. And anybody that can learn these techniques to pick themselves up, make themselves feel better, and get on with their world and make the best of things, be the best they can be, has got to be a good thing. And I just loved reading your journal. And I think if I can put that into action, or some of it into action, by going on the MeTreat, that will be amazing. So how are you going to incorporate these other bits? I mean, it's got vision boards, which you do talk about in your journal too, but power of self-talk and you've talked about the emotional ladder and the success and joy goals, and then Japanese facial massage. Now, to my knowledge, you don't do Japanese facial massage.
That's not me. So the other thinking behind this whole project is to bring together a wonderful group of well-being practitioners who I have in my world. And they're all amazing. And, you know, I love collaboration. I love working with other people. But also, this is about giving people the sort of whole wellness experience. So I'm an expert in what I do, but I can't offer all those other things. And I know how much good those things do me. You know, again, when the world allows me, I have a I treat myself to a massage at least once a month, and it's not a frivolity. That makes such a difference to my mental well-being as well as my physical well-being. And Pilates as well, you know, I'm a dedicated Pilates, there is such a thing, simply because it does my mental health so much good as well as my body. So I think it's giving people the chance to experience lots of different things, and what's right for you will be right for you. Now there's going to be a lot in this weekend, and I know, you know, people will be saying, oh, online retreat, that means I've got to sit in front of Zoom all day for 2 days. It's absolutely not like that at all. The way it will work is that there'll be a group like there would on a live retreat, and we'll all come together for certain sessions. That there'll be workshops with me that will be timetabled. The rest of the time I will give suggestions for what people might like to do, which will include things like eating nice food and going for walks and all that kind of thing. But there will also be like a resource bank of recorded sessions by all these wonderful wellness practitioners, one of whom is my friend who lives out in Bali and has recorded some meditations, and she's amazing. And they will be there for you to use during the weekend, but you also have those recordings to keep, to go on using for as long as you like afterwards.
That's so incredible.
So that's the thinking behind it. And obviously, when the time comes where we can do this live, I will have other practitioners working with me to offer the massage and so on. But this seemed to me to be the best way to give people as rich an experience as possible to make that weekend really lovely. Real time for you. That's what it's intended to be.
I'm excited and relieved, because as much as we are great mates and I'd love to support you, I don't want to sit in front of Zoom for 2 days. That would be awful. I'm so relieved that it's not
The other thing, the person who will be on Zoom for 2 days will be me, because the in-between bits, when there aren't workshops with me, when everybody else is off doing lovely things, I'm going to be offering people individual coaching sessions with me.
Oh,
so it will be a one-to-one on Zoom, but you will only do that once. You won't be doing it all the time. So I'm the one who'll have to be carried off on the stretcher on the Monday.
But I think
that's
you will.
All right. Although actually, that's not the case, because what actually happens to me is I love what I do so much that actually when I coach people, I get really energized. So I'm more likely to be kind of bouncing off the walls by the end of the weekend.
I think your artistic nature comes into your coaching, because I still have these sheets of paper that you draw while we talk that I can then take away with me and refer back to. And they're so artistic, with big bubbles of things, thoughts here and words over here that I need to look at and refocus on this. And they're always so creative, and you are always really bouncy. You give your heart and soul to everything that you do. And I couldn't recommend you more highly. It really, when I first came to you, Jenny, I came because you were a friend, and I thought, I'm going to go and support Jenny. And then I left thinking, oh goodness, why didn't I do this before? It's absolutely what I need to clear my head. You think people don't know what they need until they experience it. My son, Ollie, today just went and did an RAF test, and he's done really well, and they've given him a whole list of careers that he could do in the RAF. And he hasn't a clue what half of them are, because we've never talked about it. And if you don't know, you just don't know, do you?
Exactly. You don't know what you don't know. And I think that's one of the magical things about life, because we never stop discovering new things. And one aspect of my work, I work as an associate with an outplacement company, because one of the things I really care about doing is helping people who've been made redundant. So I do quite a lot of work with people after redundancy, and through that work I've got to meet some fascinating people who do jobs I have never ever heard of before. And really, you know, so I've ended up helping people do things like write a CV or prepare for an interview for these mystery jobs that I didn't know existed. But once you know and you realise the part that they play, you know, people who design the little widgets that go in the things that go underneath an oil rig.
Okay, you've lost me, but that's fine. A widget that goes in a thing that goes under an oil rig.
That helps to stop it falling over. You know, that was actually what somebody did once who I worked with. But fascinating, totally fascinating. And you suddenly realise that, you know, the world grows because you realise there are all these people doing things that we just never even think about. We take them for granted.
We do. And in our everyday lives, we are unaware of the millions of different jobs, multi-millions of different jobs and activities and lifestyles that are going on exactly the same time as we're doing this recording now. I know that all sounds, you know, very mumbo jumbo, but when you watch the nature programs. Now, my mother loves monkeys, and we sometimes watch a nature programme on monkeys on a Sunday. We've taken to do it recently. I don't know quite why, but anyway, we love it. And there's a whole story that goes behind all these monkeys that live in a tree and the hierarchy and everything. That's all going on right now while we're having this conversation. It doesn't just go on when I turn the telly on. It's going on right now, but we are totally blissfully unaware of other people's worlds and other people's emotions, aren't we? And that's why I think it's so important that people try things really just be brave and think, well, I don't know what all that mumbo jumbo is, all that alternative therapy. I got told off for calling it alternative therapy the other day. It's complementary therapy, I was told, which I agree with. But, you know, I didn't use the term and would never use the term disrespectfully. I thought I was using the correct term. Obviously not. So complementary therapy. But if you think it's all mumbo jumbo, which some people do, well, why not try it? Why not just try it? Because you never know what you're going to get out of it. And as you've just said, one of your other passions is, because I know you work with men and women, but you also have a passion for women maybe in their second half of their lives, really understanding that it's not all over. They don't have to, you know, sit in the corner, take up knitting. Nothing wrong with knitting. I'm just not very good at it. But, you know, sit in the corner and do nothing, you know, and they don't matter, because women tend to become a little bit invisible when they get older, don't they? And therefore retreat from feeling they have the power to do what they want to do. But you work with women to help them get out of that situation, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I'm very passionate about it because I think, I suppose I've lived it myself. You know, I'm in my second part of my century. But I think what I see around me a lot are women who allow that change of lifetime to feel like an ending, whereas actually it's a beginning. It's not just the physical side of it, but it's actually that, you know, when you get to your kind of mid-century, you've been through, and it is the same for men, you know, you've been through basically the stages of the life journey. You know, you've grown up, you've been through the learning to be an adult, your career has developed. If, you know, you may well have partnered with someone, you may well have had children by your mid-century, you might even have grandchildren, but you've been, you know, you've developed, you've learnt a great deal. And then there you are, and as you say, there is and I think we still maybe are in the mental setting a bit of the past where people in their 60s were seen as old.
Gosh.
And it's just not the case anymore.
No.
You know, we are very alive and vibrant and with loads to give. But for many people, you've been maybe doing what you did for quite a long time. And it's a great time to do different things.
Mm.
So one of the lovely things that's been happening this year is I think more and more people who I've worked with have actually been deciding to take a different career path. Sometimes because they, you know, there was a forced element, maybe through redundancy, but sometimes just because that forced change of being at home has made them realise what they could do from home.
Yeah.
So it's people, you know, in their 50s and 60s starting businesses, which I love that.
Yeah.
Because what keeps you young and loving life is enjoying what you do, isn't it?
Very much so. And it's lovely to get up every morning. When I was talking to Lord Harris, dropping a name in there, but he's one of my podcasts, he was saying, you know, how wonderful it is for these young people to achieve what they, because you're talking about his schools and his own life, to achieve what they want to achieve, but end up doing something they love doing, and to do it with a passion, because then you love getting up in the morning. You love everything that you do. And what a great thing to be able to do, to say, I love it. I've always told my boys to follow their dreams and to do, if they can make a living out of doing what they love doing, then that's going to make them the happiest people in the world. And if they can't make a living out of it, they should still do it and make it part of their world, make it part of their life.
Yeah,
it's so important.
Something else, I think, you know, for all of us, a lot's changed in a good way in the last few years. And although this last year has been difficult, I think it's accelerated that change. And one of the things that I think has become more and more the norm is what used to be called the portfolio career. You know, you do more than one thing, and it's okay. And in fact, it's good.
Yeah.
And what I'm seeing with my son's generation, you know, my son's early 20s, and he and his friends think like that. You know, they have a central thing that they're passionate about, but they're also thinking, well, I could do that, and I could do that, and I could do that. So they're planning their portfolio careers.
I haven't heard it called a portfolio career. I always call it a multiple income stream.
Yeah.
but it's very true. The same thing, really.
Yeah, it's just that, you know, it's a broader, wider way of thinking about life. But I also think for, you know, those of us who are a bit older, we can think like that too, but actually it's a great way to think.
Yeah.
You know, let's do all the things that we want to do.
Yeah, very positive.
Because you can make it work.
So I think you've already answered my question. I've got another question, but you've done it already. So I'm going to ask you anyway, just in case you've got another answer. And that is, I was going to say, because, you know, we're coming towards the end of our time. Can you believe it? We've just been chatting away and we're coming towards the end of our time. I can't believe it. But one of the questions I ask all of my guests is if you have a top tip for people now, because the point of these podcasts during my mayoralty is really to try and help people. Maybe they're feeling a bit low, or they've had to pivot their career, or they don't, or they think they're the only ones going through it, or their businesses have changed out of all belief. So I'm asking for a top tip of some sort that you would share. And I know you've just given us one with the portfolio careers and do all the things that you want to do and don't necessarily tie yourself down to one. But do you have any others that you would like to share with people that they can draw on to maybe pivot themselves and get themselves going again?
Well, okay, I have lots, but I suppose the first thing I would say to everybody at this time is just be kind to yourself. You know, I think it's very easy to put pressure on yourself and beat yourself up and you know, it's like you said earlier, it's okay not to be okay. And it's okay for things to take time. But if you are kind, gentle with yourself and give yourself permission, I think, to indulge ideas. So I always think about it. I do believe that fun is a major goal in life. So exploring options and looking at possibilities doesn't have to be hard work. Let it be fun. Be a child about it. And that's why that £5 million question is so lovely, because it's a game.
Yeah.
And another thing, you know, that I really recommend is the idea of vision boarding. Which, you know, I'm always happy to tell people more about how to do that. But literally, it is a case of making pictures of what you'd like life to look like. And it's not time wasting, and it's not silly fantasy, because the more you you manifest,
if you visualize
what it is that you want, that when you visualize it, when you create images of it, when you write about it, when you talk about it, it's like, you know, with the meat treat, when I decided that I was going to do it, I started telling people I was doing it immediately. Nothing had happened other than in my head, but I just started telling people I was doing it because I knew that that would be a driver for it actually to happen.
Yes.
And it has been. And you know, that's why I continue to talk about it, because it will happen if I talk about it, and I believe it's a real thing.
And but it is now. We've got a date, yeah. And we've got people booking. I mean, are there some spaces left on the? I know you've got a few people coming on this. It's not a huge one. It's quite exclusive. But have you got some places left?
Well, I do have some places left. The idea is that this is small groups at a time, so it's a maximum of 12 people per weekend. That's for two reasons, partly because interaction with the other people in the group is an important part of it, and if it's too big a number, then that doesn't work so well. But it's also because I want to give personal coaching time to everyone who comes, and I can't actually cut myself into more than 12 bits.
No, there aren't 8 days in a week, Hannah. Yes, I know.
There aren't 8 days in a week, and there aren't enough hours in a weekend for me to give value to more than 12 people. However, this is the first one of many. And, you know, another thing that I would love to do going forward is to do these bespoke. You know, if people would like it, for example, for their employees in a company, you have a wellness day, kind of thing. This would fit this, both involving me and my collaborators or some of my collaborators. You know, it would be wonderful to take this into environments so that we could help teams of people.
Yes, absolutely. When you
share experiences like this, it's not only about the people who lead the experience, it's about the other people on it. You tend to bond with people, and those relationships can be as important, sometimes more important, than the stuff that you do within the retreat itself.
Yeah.
That's certainly been my experience of doing similar things. I've connected with some people who've been mainstays in my life.
When you go through an experience with people together, it bonds you together, doesn't it?
And absolutely.
It's
absolutely.
A fabulous thing. So corporate social responsibility, it would be a good thing if the bigger companies were to look at doing things like that. But if people do want to book onto your course, I will make sure that it's in the description of the podcast and that people can email you at jenny@jennyhallam.co.uk.
And I will put
it in there so that if they can't get on this one, they can be on a mailing list and find out about your next one. And going forward,
you know, if anybody is just wondering, well, I'm not quite sure what she's talking about, if somebody just wants to have a chat with, I'm always willing to talk to people and explain it in more detail and answer questions.
Lovely. So we'll put that in the chat. Listen to me, that's as if we're on Zoom. I'll put that in the text that goes with the podcast. I think I'm all zoomed out. So the last little light question for you. I've got something written down here that I haven't mentioned. You know, talk about ladies doing things in their second half of their century and being empowered and being happy with themselves. I remember you were in a newspaper and you had your photos taken with another group of ladies that were empowering themselves of a certain age. So that would be well worth looking up on your Facebook page, I'm quite sure. No, you looked stunning, Jenny. You were absolutely stunning. And it was a major newspaper. Which one was it again?
I think it was the Mail. I can't remember now, but I think it was in the Mail. Yes, I was. I was there as a woman looking good for my age.
Yeah, and you looked damn good for your age. So, right. Now, having said that, because it was in my notes, so I had to say it. Now we go to the question. The last question is, if you were having a dinner party...
Yes.
And I say this to everyone, obviously I'm going to be there because I have to meet whoever it is that you would like at your dinner party. So who would you invite to your dinner party, past or present, that you would like to be there?
Okay, well, I'm going to cheat here and I'm going to give you two answers. Mm-hmm. The person who is no longer with us, who I'd love to have there, would be Elizabeth First, because I've always found her completely fascinating.
Okay.
And so she'd be there. If I could invite Elizabeth I, I would invite her.
Oh, Elizabeth I. I didn't get that first time. I thought, who's Elizabeth I? No, Elizabeth the
no,
First.
Elizabeth the First.
I'm with you.
The Queen.
I got it. Oh, yes, fascinating.
Fascinating woman. And the other fascinating woman that I'd love to invite would be Helen Mirren.
Oh, yes.
Helen Mirren has always been, I adore her as an actress, but I also think as a personality, she has that vibrancy. And, you know, all I've been talking about, you know, women in their second half of their century, be it, you know, really going for it and living full on and being...
Yes,
amazing.
She strikes you as a feisty person, doesn't she? I don't know if that's true, but she strikes you as a feisty person. She looks great in a leather jacket.
yes. There's a great photograph of her I saw recently where she was rocking a leather jacket, and I just thought, yeah, that's it. No, I think she's always been somebody I'd just love to meet, and I think she'd be great fun. So if you and me and her were at a dinner party, I think we'd have a blast.
Oh, I'll come to that one, definitely. Yeah, definitely. That sounds really good to me. All these dinner parties I'm going to be going to after all these podcasts, I tell you, it's a nice way to try and get yourself invited round to someone else's house for dinner. No, it's been lovely talking to you, Jenny. And I know we could carry on and carry on because I love the work that you do. I love the influence that you have on people. And I know we've been talking about women, 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 but I know you also have worked a lot with gentlemen. going through the same sorts of things, but just in the way that gentlemen go through it. So I think that's worth pointing that out. But it's so lovely to talk to you, my darling. And I think people would be crazy not to try and get themselves on this retreat. And thank you so much for your time. I wish you all the very best, and I hope to get on that retreat myself.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for joining me today. If you know someone or are someone who should join me, please get in touch. Meanwhile, believe in yourself, support others, and please stay safe.